Hey everyone, it's Judy from Stirring Words, where Kim and I chat every week about God's wisdom on wellness. Now be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a session. But in the meantime, listen in now on our weekly phone conversation. Miss Kimberly.
Hey, Judy, it's so great to hear from you today, sister.
Miss Kimberly, it's good to be heard from you. I bet you have some words of wisdom for us today.
Yes, I do. And it really is something that I think is something that's very important for us to know. And, you know, we were talking about last week, we talked about what I call the dirty secret of sugar addiction. And it said that, and I said that at the time, that when a person is addicted to sugar, we often focus on what the person's eating, like sugary items such as candy, cookies, cake, all that other stuff, or refined carbohydrates like white rice, white pastas, and etc. But what I mentioned was we miss what the addicted person is not eating. So just to recap, we concluded that lack of adequate fiber and fluids in a person's eating pattern can not only lead to chronic constipation, but also can contribute to various diseases like irritable bowel syndrome or diverticulitis and other gut issues. And that's certainly no laughing matter. Now, this week, we're going to discuss another detrimental aspect of sugar addiction. But before we get into that, Judy, I'm going to ask that you pray for us and also read the focus scripture, which once again is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12.
It is my pleasure. And I would like to pray over all of us today. One of my favorite passages that I actually memorized during a tough time a handful of years ago, and it's Psalm 25, 3 and 4. Gracious, gracious Father, make us to know your ways. Teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation. For you, we wait all the day long. Powerful scripture. And Kim, you asked me to read the focus scripture for this episode, which is 1 Corinthians 6:12, which reads, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any."
Amen, my sister. That is such a powerful word. And it was a sobering realization back when I weighed 240 pounds that sugar certainly had power over me. But now, today, I think of sugar as like an allergy. And if I eat a lot of it, it causes negative effects in me, which I don't like. It makes me feel irritable, low in energy, and brain fogged. Now, I'm going to share an experience that I've never forgotten. And it was an experience in which many years ago, I woke up and I had a problem with my reasoning. And I described it as like trying to think through a morass of molasses. You see what I did there? And I think it sounds more memorable to put it that way versus a lot of molasses. But anyway, that feeling was weird and it was scary. And I was always thinking about, too, recently within our Take Back Your Temple community, we've been doing a challenge called the Sugar Detox Challenge. And one of our members was actually describing having a headache and feeling very weird as she was detoxing from sugar, because what our focus is replacing the items, sugar items in our eating pattern with replacements that don't cause us to be brain hijacked. So she was describing that now that the sugar was not there, she was replacing it with something else. She said, "Well, I've got a headache and I'm feeling kind of weird." And she was saying, is that normal? And I told her, I said, "Well, you know, each person responds differently, but if that's the way that you're responding, then that is normal temporarily for you until your body detoxes." And I told her, I also said, You know, if sugar is causing this much trouble on the way out, can you imagine the damage that it was causing when it was in? And she said, wow, I just never thought about that. And I said, yeah, if it's kicking and screaming on the way out, then it was already causing damage while it was in. But here's the deal. I choose, and she's chosen too, to go through life energetic, mentally sharp, and emotionally balanced. So therefore, I don't bring sugary foods home anymore. And I might have some on the out, but it's going to be very little because I have what I call a small sugar tank. My body can only tolerate so much before I start having those weird symptoms, and I choose not to go there. But Judy, what's scary about sugar is that manufacturers put it in just about all processed foods in one form or another. And so I challenge our listeners, and this is going to come back to us when I give my action item later, but I challenge our listeners to check out the labels of some of the items in our cabinets, pantry, or refrigerator, because you would be shocked that sugar is in things that you would not expect. In fact, I dare you, and this is our listeners, I dare you to look at food items in a bag or a box or a can in your house and see if a name for sugar is mentioned in the first three ingredients. And here are some of those names, Judy. You might have more, but these are some of the ones I found. Obviously, the word sugar. That's a big clue that sugar's in there in the list of ingredients. And I'm talking about things like cane sugar, beet sugar, corn sugar. Another name for sugar is syrups, like corn syrup, such as like high fructose corn syrup, one of the worst. Maple syrup, carob syrup, rice syrup. Words ending in OSDOs, like dextrose, maltose, sucrose, lactose. And then you've got molasses. Remember my thinking experience in which I said I felt like I was thinking through molasses that time? Then you're talking about cane crystals. And then finally, the last on my list is barley malt. Now, there may be other forms that are other names, but those are the main ones. So this is my thought. If a form of sugar is in the first three ingredients, then I recommend replacing that item with another that either doesn't have sugar added or sugar is lower on the ingredients list, which means that it has less. And here's a little known fact. Most food manufacturers have a food scientist or food chemist on the payroll because they are seeking through their taste tests what they call the bliss factor. And the bliss factor is a combination of tastes that are pleasurable to consumers because the manufacturers know that the more a consumer likes a taste, the more they will buy it. And the more a consumer buys, the more money the manufacturers make. Makes sense, right? So, Judy, we don't have to be a victim of that, though. But, Judy, what are your thoughts about how our current society is drowning in sugar?
Kim, you have rightly said that there is a myriad of sweet additives. And though I wholeheartedly agree with you, where you say, look at the ingredients label. If sugar or one of the different varieties of sugar is in the first three ingredients, pass. But what I want to remind our listeners is that the manufacturers are on to us getting smarter. And so, unfortunately, they are getting more wily. And what some of the manufacturers will do, we'll put a little bit of sugar and a little bit of syrup and a little bit of glucose and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So they're all lower in the ingredients label. The totals of each of those is less. So they're all lower in the ingredients label. So as Kim warned, look for all the sources of sugar. And I would encourage you, there are two labels on every product, the ingredients label, and then there's the nutrition label. And I would encourage everyone to also pay close attention to that nutrition label because it will tell you how many grams of sugar is in a serving of that product. Now, the first thing is a serving really a serving. Like if it's a bag of tortilla chips and they say 8 chips is a serving, that ain't a Judy serving. So you want to be smart about what really is a serving, what realistically is a serving. But that is a whole nother conversation. But as you look at grams per serving, think about experts suggest that we limit our added sugar intake. So this does not include natural sources of sugar, like with fruit, but to limit our added sugar to 25 grams per day. So I want to give you an example of how quickly that sugar budget can be eaten up, if you will. So I'm sure most of you have had some yogurt experience. You might eat yogurt. You know there are a variety of brands of yogurt, and you know that Yoplait is a very popular brand of yogurt, and they have offer single-serving yogurt containers that are 6 ounces. And on those containers, they scream in their marketing that they contain no artificial flavors, no high fructose corn syrup, no colors from artificial sources for a snack you can feel good about. But if you dig a little deeper, sugar is the second ingredient. And so not only would Kim have you throw that fruited Yoplait in the trash can because sugar is the second ingredient, it's not the only sweetener. It also has other sweeteners. So look at your labels. The other thing is, as I said, experts suggest we add no more than 25 grams of sugar a day. So what do you think this little, I mean, it's a snack pack, right? It's like 6 bites, right? It's 6 ounces. How many grams do you think that is? 25 grams of sugar in that tiny, tiny, tiny little container. And the other thing, so that's 20 of your 25 for the day, right? And then the other thing that I think is comical, and if it wasn't so pathetic, it would be funny, is that Yoplait also markets their yogurt, their fruited yogurt, as made with real fruit. But if you look at the label, of those 20 total grams of sugar, 14 are added. So the real fruit is only 6 of the 20 grams of sugar. So that ain't much real fruit, ladies and gentlemen. So let's call a spade a spade. Fruited yogurt is a dessert. So let's call a spade a spade. Fruited yogurt is a dessert.
Mm-hmm. That's very good information, Judy, because you're right. I didn't think about the other maybe lower, but then there's multiple sources of it that adds up to the amount that you find in the top three, if it could. Wow, they're sneaky, aren't they? But in any case, so very sneaky. So we have to be smart, though. But in any case, one of the things I wanted to add as well, because we have to consider the fact that we have a aging population, of course, you know, with the baby boomers. And well, I will say now, I'm not a baby boomer. I'm not a young pup, but I'm a Gen Xer. But anyway, I'm getting older, too. But anyway, it's our population is getting older. It's aging. So I think it's even more urgent that we ensure that the foods we choose help us and not hurt us, especially consider how sugar affects our brains. And the reason that sugar is so addictive is because it hijacks our brain's reward systems, which is led by the neurotransmitter dopamine. And unfortunately, the more a person is addicted, the more parts of your brain gets dampened or turned off, like little parts, like your ability to reason, to exercise self-control, and your ability to experience joy and real pleasures. So on TakeBackYourTemple.com, I have an article called Your Sugar or Your Brain, which has an image comparing healthy brains versus the addicted brain. And I'm going to link to it on our podcast resource page at TakeBackYourTemple.com/podcast. But the addicted brain and living with an addicted brain is not what the Lord wants for us. He wants us operating with all parts of our brains functioning the way that He designed originally. So, Judy, I'm going to share two scriptures that tell the story of God's will for us in this particular matter. And we already talked about the first one, which is a hallmark of this issue in our lives. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 again. And that's our focus scripture for this episode. And again, I'm going to read it. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So I will speak my paraphrase of that scripture. And that means that I can eat anything, but I shouldn't eat everything. Because once I discern that a food is not helpful to me, I seek the Lord's wisdom and I seek His strength to replace that food with one that is more helpful so that I can keep my brain, or if it's been hijacked, I can take it back. And the second scripture is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I think I did say 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, just in case I misspoke. But in any case, that scripture is, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I always fixate on that word may, because it's almost like if you're not sober and you're not vigilant, you're giving the enemy permission to devour you. Because may, you know, it's like asking permission. And you're like, no, he's looking for opportunity. So it says, be sober, be vigilant, because we recognize that we have a real enemy, like a roaring lion, the Bible says. And it says he's seeking whom he may devour. And we're like, no, you will not devour me. So if we're brain fogged, if we're confused, if we're listless, then how can we be alert to the enemy's schemes? Consider this. When you're in a war, you need all of your brain faculties to plan and execute your strategy to overcome the enemy. Otherwise, you're an easy target for him. I mean, he may start out exploiting your food weaknesses, but once he gets that foothold, he may target your family or your finances next. And this is like a little saying, it's true, but it kind of made me chuckle when this particular minister in our church said it. But one time he told me, we're talking about something like a Bible study lesson, I believe, but he said, if you give the devil a ride, he'll want to drive. And that is absolutely true. You know, you always say, give an inch, they'll take a mile. It's the same thing. So your mind needs to be alert to practice the spiritual warfare necessary to protect all that is dear to you. Now, I know that some people may say, Kim, you're exaggerating this. One little bite won't hurt. But I counter that with, yes, it will hurt if it leads you into an addictive cycle that will keep you in bondage to sugar addiction and obesity for 30 years or more. And the enemy, he wants us to downplay this issue, even brush it off as harmless. And I've got air quotes around that. But when you see those brain scans that I talked about in the pictures, you'll see that it's anything but harmless. So consider how the Bible described the enemy in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. The word cunning, it means, and this is a definition of cunning, it means having or showing skill in achieving one's ends by deceit or evasion. And that sounds like a being who can think, plan, or create strategies, doesn't it? And so no wonder the enemy wants Christians to lose their ability to think, which makes us more vulnerable to his lies. Easy prey. So keeping our mental faculties intact is a matter of spiritual warfare. It's that serious. So Judy, I'm curious, what are your thoughts about sugar and protecting our brains from those detrimental effects and seeing it as a matter of spiritual warfare?
Oh, Kim, where do I start? Okay.
I knew you have a lot of ideas.
I'm going to work hard to not cry, but as you share all this and you talk about Satan trying to sabotage the church, I have this visual, and I'm telling you, I can see it. I can see it like it's happening right now. I'm with my mom. I'm at her women's Bible study. That's 9:30 in the morning. And she's walking from the treat table back to her seat with a plate full of desserts, of essentially desserts. And as she got older, she started experiencing some of the brain fog that Kim has mentioned. And I begged her to be more discriminating in her foods. And, you know, she said what Kim says people say, and that is, oh, just a little bit won't hurt. But, you know, it wasn't a little bit. I mean, she's going to Bible study at 9:30 in the morning and getting a plate full of cookies and cakes. And it made me so sad. And most of you, if you've listened to Stirring Words for a while, you know that I am enraged by all the sugar that's served in churches across the country week after week after week after week. God's people go to church on Sunday inhaling sugar. And no, it's not just one little bite oftentimes. It's platefuls. And what particularly upsets me is what we're teaching our children. The message is, church is where you go to eat sugar. And how many summer VBS programs dump sugar? I mean, dump sugar into the systems of our children. And not only our children, but how many kids from the community come to VBS? They've never even gone to your church, but they come for the summer week of VBS, and we dump sugar into their systems. I am sorry. I think that's child abuse. And honestly, if I had a child who was eligible to attend VBS, I'd have a really hard time sending her. Because what do you say? Oh, yeah, you can go, but you can't eat all the treats that the other kids get to eat. Wake up, church, is what I want to say. Wake up. Kim is absolutely right. Sugar is a tool of Satan. Sugar is stealing our health. Sugar is hijacking our brain. This is a spiritual battle that Satan seems to be winning. He is thrilled that God's people are addicted to sugar, inefficient, low energy, brain fogged, and I call it slain by sugar. Wake up, church. This is a critical, critical topic. So I say again, read your labels. Knowledge is power. Get a buddy for accountability. And I'm going to ask you, join us on Facebook at Holy Health Club for our active worship community, because week after week after week, we are taking positive steps toward better health for God's glory.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that, Judy, because, and this is something personal as well, because my mother this past year was diagnosed with dementia. And one of the things I have noticed about her is she is very fond of her sugar. And she's over 80. And sometimes she'll tell me, well, I'm on the way out, so I'm, you know, let me just eat what I want. And of course, as an adult, she has the right to choose how she wants to live. But at the same time, I know that the more sugar she continues to eat, the more that her mental capacity is likely to deteriorate. Now, at the moment, I know back in the earlier part of last year, she was in the hospital and had some issues. And that was a real rough time. And she's gotten a lot better. But, you know, when I visit sometimes, I was like, my goodness, she's awash in sugar. And, you know, I do my best to talk to her about it and offer alternatives. And she listens with some things and sometimes she doesn't. And that's one thing that I struggle with, because again, I want to respect her. It's her house and she has the ability to choose how she wants to live. But at the same time, I know about the damage that sugar excess is causing. So I don't want that for her. And I don't want that for any of our listeners. We need to be fully engaged in life, able to tell people who don't know Jesus about the freedom that's available in him. But it's our ability to do that is hindered when we ourselves are not free from this particular thing. So how can we say with authenticity that our faith with Jesus, in Jesus, is setting us free or has set us free from sin? Not to say sugar sin. I'm not going to say that. But what I will say is that us having the ability to say that Jesus came to set the captives free, but then at the same time, we know deep in our hearts that we are in bondage to sugar addiction. And for those people who are out there saying, perhaps nursing the belief that you'll always be in bondage to sugar addiction and never get free, that's another of the enemy's lies. And the question that I want to ask is, if you're telling yourself that, then how long will you continue to believe the lie above God's truth? Because Romans 12:2 tells us that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. But if we keep on thinking the same things and doing the same things, then all we're doing is building pathways in our brains that are going deeper and stronger and harder to break the more that we practice and think that old way. So really, the choice is simple. It's your sugar or it's your brain. So I am urging our listeners to choose wisely. So finally, I'm going to give my action invitation for the week. And it's just simply a repeat of what I said earlier. It was a dare. Yes, I say I dare you to put on your detective hat and to look at the food items in your house that's in a bag or a box or can and see if a name for sugar is mentioned in those first three ingredients, or what Judy gave us an additional guideline is if it's lower than on the list, then check and see if there are multiple instances of sugar later on further down if the manufacturer is trying to deceive you into how much sugar is in that particular item. Remember that yogurt example of 20 grams of sugar? That's way too much. But in any case, once again, here are the names of sugar. Jot them down. I recommend, or just listen to this again so you can get them. But it's sugar like cane sugar, beet sugar, corn sugar, syrups like corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, maple syrup, carob syrup, rice syrup, words that end in OSD like dextrose, maltose, sucrose, lactose, molasses. And then we're talking about cane crystals and finally barley malt. So like I mentioned, if that form of sugar is either in the first three ingredients or if it's lower on the list, but you've got multiple instances like Judy told us, then we recommend that you replace that item with another that either doesn't have sugar added or sugar is less on the list. And maybe it's lower in the list and maybe it's once there. And you can reasonably conclude by looking at the sugar grams also on the label. You know, personally, I say to myself, maybe 10 grams or less. Judy gave us a guideline of 20 for the whole day. But in any case, you want to be sure that you're choosing foods that are helping you and not hurting you in this matter so you can keep your brain or else take it back if it's been hijacked. So, Judy, I'm going to ask that you share any final thoughts about your sugar or your brain, and then I will go ahead and pray us out.
Kim, I just have a couple of final thoughts. One, church, pray the devil away. He is hard at work sabotaging the health of God's people. And sugar is one of his primary arrows in his quiver. So pray the devil away. And I'm also going to challenge you listeners to stir up support within your church. What kind of foods is your church serving? Can you at least get alternatives to all the sugary treats that the church is serving? And I'm going to ask you directly, is your pastor, is your women's ministry leader, is your youth pastor, is your congregation listening to Stirring Words? Are you, as a family of God, discussing this issue of tending to our temple, that all things are lawful, but a whole bunch of things that the church is serving is not helpful? Have a conversation, ladies and gentlemen, and use Stirring Words as a conduit for conversation.
Amen. I love that, Judy. I love that. So let's go ahead and pray out. And I will say that if you're continuing to listening to Stirring Words and God is putting on your heart to partner with us in delivering these messages and stirring up the church in the matter of sharing God's wisdom on wellness, then please check us out and consider becoming a partner at takebackyourtemple.com/donations. So let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we just thank you so much for enlightening us in this area. We don't want parts of our brain going dark. And I kind of chuckled a little bit, but it really is no laughing matter, Father. We want all of our brain faculties fully engaged, that we trust in your word to transform us by the renewing of our minds. But if we are having parts of our brains being turned off and not fully engaged and not able to think and reason and staying emotionally stable, then we don't want that. We want to be fully engaged so that we can continue to operate in the purpose by which we have been called, and being the light of the world. In this dark world, we are called to be lights, to light up the way to our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So help us, Lord, in this matter. You told us if we lack wisdom, all we have to do is ask you and you'll give it to us liberally and without reproach. So help us to operate in your wisdom in this matter, in which knowledge transform into wisdom through the appropriate application of the knowledge. So we do thank you, Lord. Give us your strength to do what we know we ought to do, what your Holy Spirit is leading us to do. And we shall give your honor, glory, and praise in all things. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen.
Kim, thank you so much for bringing this topic to our attention. It is so important. And if anybody missed your session last week, go back, listen. And Kim, how about we do this again next week?
Thank you so much. And sister, next week we're going to talk about another aspect of sugar. So strap in.
Love you big.
I love you too, sister. Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye. Love you. Thanks for listening to Stirring Words. We hope that our podcast is a trusted partner on your wellness journey. If so, please pray about partnering with us in ministry financially and subscribe at takebackyourtemple.com/donation. Keep tuning in on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss a session. And be sure to tell your friends about us. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to Kim at takebackyourtemple.com and Judy at holyhealthclub.com. Until next week, may you be stirred by God's transformative word.